Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's Essential Prenatal Multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast and on video is Vadim Alexander, Head of Healthcare, SP Angel. You all right, fella?
How are you doing, Justin?
I'm all right. I'm looking forward next week, right? I mean, this is my office in the garden. In fact, on the back of the wall there, you can sort of, I don't know if you can see it, but there's a picture of my office in the garden. But I'm in that office, and I've been sleeping in here for the last 10 weeks now because there's construction going on in the house. You can see the back there. We've had the render done, and they're putting cladding on. But that was supposed to be down like 2 weeks ago. So next week, we finally get the bedroom carpeted, well, it's painted this weekend, bedroom carpeted, and then we can move back into the house and sleep on a normal size mattress, apart from my sofa bed that I pull out every evening, because it's been 10 weeks. It was supposed to be done in 3-4 weeks. And like I said, lots of delays, lots of issues happening. So, it'd be nice to get in a proper bed, you know?
Yeah, maybe for Christmas. So that's good.
I know. Do you know what, exactly? Do you know what's annoying me, right? Yesterday, and I posted this on social media, Donald Trump rang the bell at the New York Stock Exchange. And I love the celebration they have when a new company lists is celebrating. The bell rings, everyone cheers. And in America, investing is celebrated, you know. And I think it's over 60% of people in America hold shares in a listed company. In the UK, it's half that. And I think in this country, right, now look at their markets. They're doing very well. Their economy's doing very well. They celebrate the success of business, investing in business, you know. And over here, Rachel Reeves and Keir Starmer have hardly acknowledged our capital markets. And they can't seem to sort of join the dots between a thriving, you know, capital markets and a thriving economy, or a thriving business and a thriving economy. And I don't understand why. You should encourage people to learn to invest in businesses, to generate their own wealth. And I'm thinking, why are they just ignoring this? You can see the example across the pond there. It's working very well over there. It's not over here. London now, the IPOs in London, they are behind. We were like second or third in the world IPOs. But if it wasn't New York, they'd come to London probably, you know. But now we are behind, who is it, Oman and Malaysia for IPOs. It's dreadful, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't want to get too political on this call, but I think...
even the Conservatives, I'm thinking, why isn't anyone championing our capital markets? It's something to be celebrating.
Look, I agree with you, but it was a problem before also.
Absolutely.
I'm not condoning one side, you know, or the other. It's just, it was terrible. There was very little support for our small cap markets under the Conservatives. You're absolutely right. There isn't any more support now. Still, there's no support. It's true.
Yeah.
There's no, and if anything, you know, the proof is in the pudding. The economy is slowing on the grim budget. And that's it. Well, that's the announcement today. It doesn't matter what you and I say. Those are the facts.
Yeah. This is not political. I'm just saying is when we talk about improving, you know, public infrastructure, public services, that money pretty much comes from business, you know, all of it. I mean, if you look at the SME market, I think it's 5.5 million small and medium-sized enterprises in the UK, and 99% of the tax from all business comes from small businesses, you know. So if you enable those to thrive, they take on more people, and those more people spend in the economy, they also spend more tax. It literally helps our economy. And I can't see that should be, first of all, root and branch, helping businesses, not raising, you know, increasing regulation and taxes. You can't tax your way to growth. Look at this. These are numbers today, right? Construction, minus 0.4, forecast of 0.2. Mm-hmm. It's like year on year, minus 0.7, forecast coming flat. GDP contracted in October. It was supposed to go up by 0.1%. It's gone down from 1.6 to 1.3 year on year. It's everything's flatlining. And I'm thinking, why? Because businesses don't have the confidence to take on anyone. They can't. And it's like, it drives me nuts. It really drives. I just think the way they have in America, the ethos of, in that, even just the celebration of the opening bells, it's a nice thing. It's like people are listing their companies or they're celebrating being on the market for so many years. And it just gives a positive feel towards it, you know? Whereas this country, they're ambivalent towards it. I don't think Rachel Reeves or Keir Starmer and even Boris Johnson don't even acknowledge the capital markets. We had great capital markets, London was, but it's like, it was, but where's it gone now? It's like, it just drives me nuts. It drives me insane.
I mean, we just saw Ashton, you know, saying that they're moving their primary listing to New York, which is quite, you know, it's things like that we need to stop. We need to stop that hemorrhaging. Definitely.
Well, it's not so bad, actually, primary listing, because I spent about 90% of the business, but it's happened a lot. And not only now, it's just like now people, you get this negative sentiment, you feed loop, almost a doom loop. They won't listen in London because everyone's saying they're not listening or they're delisting or whatever. And so it just really is a vicious circle. But look at those numbers.
It does. And we had that in biotech for a while earlier in the year. But it seems to have slowed. So there was a bit of a hemorrhaging where companies were just delisting on the hopes of listing in the US. There is a the grass is greener effect in that it isn't. You know what I mean? So I buy everything you're saying. I agree, you know, in part with how the US is winning that race. We that's a fact right now.
Yeah.
Except that in healthcare in particular, you have to be a company of, I'd say, $500 million to be able to list successfully on NASDAQ. Again, it's a great venue if you have critical mass. The minute you tip below that, it starts to get really ugly very quickly, you know? Mm-hmm. And the bit that the Americans don't talk about is all their failures, right? And I think that's well known. Yeah. You know, it's all rah-rah, everything is great. But if you look at the long, and I'm talking about now, I'm bringing the conversation, that conversation that you're mentioning about comparing the UK to the US, I'm just bringing it into the kind of narrow field of healthcare and biotech, right?
Yeah.
Which is our area of specialization. And it's actually not greener. It doesn't look very good there right now. And a lot of the companies that were suffering during the downturn are just suffering, I would say, in some ways more than here. So these are companies that, you know, are down by 99%. And they used to be up to a billion market cap business, and that was a small cap company deemed a small cap company in the US. Now they're sub 100 million market cap, and I cannot see, you know, an easy path out for them. Now there is some movement, and you do see some rallies. So maybe that's the way it's going to happen, but it is just not as crystal clear. Comparing that to the UK, which is, say, you take AIM as a market, also we have some, you know, sub 100 million market cap businesses that are maybe in some way stranded on a market where there's less liquidity, but there is a following, and those shares, I just find that it's going to be a lot easier for a company to move out of the sub 100 million market cap to the 100 plus than it will be for the NASDAQ companies that are sub 100 million market cap, because they have much longer to go to get noticed in America from the real investor base, like the non-retail. And there's nothing wrong with the retail investor base. It's just that you need the critical mass of big institutions to pull your shares upwards, right? I think on AIM, you have a better chance because the institutional market fishes in a smaller market cap range. Yeah. You see what I mean? So we're all in retail. Like, I'm a retail investor. I like punting in small biotech companies. We talk about it here all the time, right? But my point is, for me to see my company, a company that I like, go from, say, 10 million market cap to 1 billion, we're going to need institutional buyers along the way at some point, right? Mm-hmm. In the US, if I was in a 10 million market cap company, I'm going to have to wait and hope for a lot longer before it gets, because it has to get a lot bigger, okay?
Yeah.
Here, if you go from 10 to 100, then you start to have institutional buyers start to pull it all the way up. So the difference is, it's just not that great there right now for these smaller companies. So it isn't all perfect, Justin. It's not all,
no, I understand.
Grass is not 100% green
No, I understand that. I understand that. But I just think the ethos in America for, you know, the stock market is a more familiar thing to most, a lot more people over there than it is over here. And I think, you know, and if you want to help your economy, then you almost, you know, make people familiar with it from a younger age, you know, yeah. Saying these are businesses you can invest in, you know, there's funds there that get better than the bank. And it's just, it's almost like it's not even acknowledged by, you know, people up high there on the government thinking, and you think, why isn't it? Do you not understand it's directly linked to the prosperity of your country, which, you know, means you'll get more tax take, you get more people employed, you know, and will buy more stuff. Because if you know, the way it's going at the moment, you know, it's looking like people will not take more people on. So what you've got is less people spending in the economy, more people taken from the state. And I think, come on. It's to me, it's common sense. But it's like, you know, and I suppose the only positive from this is that after the budget came out, and Andrew Bailey previously said he's going to start reducing rates aggressively, pulled back on that because he said now there may be inflation baked in because the wage increases from the government and also the costs are going up for businesses who will pass that on to consumers. But I think these figures here, now people are sort of changing their mind. They're saying they won't do a rate reduction this month, Bank of England. But now people are saying they may do. So if anything, I think the Bank of England are behind the curve. We may have a little blip in inflation in the short term. But looking at these figures, the economy is slowing down. And you don't get generally inflation slowing down economy. So I'm thinking they may even be a bit more dovish here in the shorter term. So hopefully, and that will be the change. That'll be the catalyst for biotech, especially small caps and micro cap stocks. Nothing moves the markets like central banks. And, when you start getting that interest rate coming down, which is going to happen next year, started already. I'm just thinking, you know, the Bank of England are being a bit more cautious than other central banks.
What's the forecast currently before these figures came out today?
Well, I just
four
read today.
Cuts next year, I think. Eh? Four.
Yeah. So they're saying there's only 3 to 4 next year rate reductions.
So you're right. That might be more now. It might be closer to 5, including the first one imminent.
Yeah. So they're saying it was being sort of nailed on as an 80-90% chance of not reducing rates at this month's meeting. And now that's come down to about 50-60%. So they're not quite sure. Yeah. So they may happen. But at least, you know, the bad economy may be helping. So I think 2025, I think we said this last year, I think 2024 was a good year. But I think now we have central banks actually globally reducing interest rates. I think it will be very good for the markets because that wasn't happening last year. And that's where huge money flow is encouraged in the markets when, you know, cost of capital comes down. So I think it'll be
great. And the markets are leading indicators, right? So what's happening in the economy is not what necessarily happens in the markets. They tend to be seeing through the next downturn or whatever, a slowdown to the next year. So you're absolutely correct. And we are seeing a start to sentiment change. There is the punter's coming back in. which is good.
Hopefully. Yeah. I mean, I was looking at the AIM All Share. We're going to look at Cambridge Cognition, because I know we've mentioned it previously. Yeah. They've had the CEO stepped down recently, but this is the AIM All Share. It's off the bottom here. This big rise, like I said, that was the budget, the relief that, you know, inheritance tax wasn't scrapped completely. It was half so scrapped. But we've had this big rise, and it's come down, hit this level here. So what you got here is, low, higher low, higher low, and now you go sort of higher high here because the high here and it's broken up and it's consolidating. But it needs to get above this maybe even just the previous budget, 740, 744. Yeah. And then, but it seems now, you know, it is up from an all-time low, recent all-time low. You can't have a recent all-time, but a recent low of back in October 23. But it's literally been bouncing along the bottom pretty much. But
From that low to that peak, you know, in May, there was momentum.
Yeah.
It's that, see how it petered out? And then, so the last 4 months of just, you're right, it's the lead, the run into the budget, all of that, the US election, just been weighing on the markets. And now it feels, you're right, that it's turning around. And that bigger trend from that all-time low is going to hopefully kick in.
You know, the biggest mover of the market is central banks, and central banks are reducing interest rates. You know, so there's no doubt they will be reducing interest rates for the next year. So that will see money inflow into the markets. I think it was 42 months of money outflow that fund managers in UK, you know, small cap fund managers have seen 42 consecutive months of money outflow.
That's but recently, is it true that the last month was the first inflow? Yeah, it was the first inflow.
Basically, people accelerated before the budget.
Yeah.
And then people thought, oh, okay, it's not as bad. And they went back in, basically. So that was the first month. It was sort of an aberration, really, because, you know, it's not the start of a trend. But, but you can see maybe that helped a lot. So maybe if we that's what we need. We need some kind of catalyst. And that's how the interest rates is the thing. And the sad thing was the budget delayed that a little bit. But hopefully they'll be back on course. Having seen these figures, GDP and all that, construction figures, maybe the bank says, oh, maybe we should be less restrictive.
Well, I agree with you. We are seeing sentiment pick up in that respect. Because, you know, everyone's trying to get ahead of what that to your point about the interest rates. We did lose a year, obviously, looking at this chart we have, you know, but it's exactly that's happened. Remember, we were talking for a long time about interest rates are about to come down. They never did. Inflation was stickier, took longer. Even when it was back down to 2 or 3, 4%, the central banks were being cautious, right? Yeah. And it was sticky. It's remained kind of there. So we have lost a year on that. And then it just dovetailed straight into the two elections and then the budget. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the UK election, the UK budget, and the US election, all that's behind us now, which is great.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's look at Cambridge Cognition. Let's put this chart up here first. Just explain what they do. I mean, it's a clue in the title there, but what does Cambridge Cognition do?
So they're in the area of helping pharmaceutical companies with their dementia drugs, basically. Mm. Okay, so they're the lead area. It's a big area right now in CNS, so central nervous system drugs. People are developing drugs for dementia, which is one of the biggest, healthcare categories that is of, there haven't been really any drugs. There's a couple recent approvals. They're not the most effective, but there's a big pipeline of them coming, and it's going to be a big category. Okay. Again, aging population, other areas are not resolved, but being resolved over time, namely cardiovascular disease was, massively improved in the 1990s with the statins, right? So, cardiovascular disease used to be, it still isn't one of the number one killers. Cardiovascular disease and oncology are the two big number one killers, almost tying in depending what country you look at. But it drastically reduced the impact of people dying at a younger age. So people are living longer all around, all across the board. And then in immuno-oncology being a big win in oncology, also leading people to live longer. So the next big category becomes just plain aging, and dementia is that big area, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of pharma companies are playing in the space. A couple of recent approvals, not the best drugs that come out first, but they have an effect in delaying the onset of dementia. And Cambridge Cognition is basically a service provider to all those pharma companies that are developing drugs. What are they looking for? So they're looking for digital assessments of early signs of either, dementia or an improvement. Okay. So they help, you can imagine a pharmaceutical company is trying to test a group of patients with the drug and a group of patients without the drug. And they just try to show differentials, in cognitive assessment. So that's what they are. They're providing digital cognitive assessments of patients, how they're behaving as a result of the drug or not being on the drug. And you can pick up these things. For example, they have one service, which is picks up in the way people speak. So it's a voice recognition type of service where you can see differences in how people change in terms of the way they speak, in terms of the tone of their voice, et cetera, et cetera. And it's all obviously powered by AI. Showing people basically are either improving because of the drug or not, or slowing the degeneration that dementia brings. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's their area. And they've been trading quite well historically during COVID, and they've started to run into trouble post COVID. And we've all been kind of hoping for, some renewed interest. And the problem there is fundamentally, if the biotech or drug companies that are paying them for their service can't raise capital, which has been the case for the last 2 or 3 years, there's less capital to go around to invest into drug development, and therefore these service providers take a hit. So they've been taking a pretty bad hit. And then more recently, they've put out a trading statement, again, showing that revenues are contracting. So it's been a hard, long slog for this company. I mean, quite frankly, for the last 3 years, they've been kind of going sideways in terms of their revenues or contracting. And I think what's changed about this announcement, the shares rallied a bit. I'm still unconvinced, I have to say, because a couple of things have happened. Obviously, over that time frame, share prices underperformed. Now the CEO has departed about 3 or 4 months ago. Still looking.
Yeah, that was. I mean, that is odd, isn't it? I mean, it's like because you know he was spearheading sort of this the cost reduction campaign, focusing the company on you know on the core, and, yeah. and then or expanding services. But I mean, and then all of a sudden just leaves.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not uncommon when you look at what happened here. So we have the trading statement that it kind of explains it, right? There were, I think the market expectations was flat, 13.5 million year on year. Now it's 10. You know, yeah. in revenues. The silver lining in this announcement, and I think that's why the shares rallied a bit, is that they managed to keep EBITDA break even. So that's a good thing. So somehow throughout all that, even though revenue is contracting, they managed to control costs. So that's
well, that's this. I mean, they said
but that you know, bothers cash. Me. The bit you just highlighted right there,
yeah.
1 million in cash. I don't like that. So I don't like the fact that the shares are that the cash is starting to grow thin, and the fact that there's still no CEO. You know, these are problems that need to be resolved. Unfortunately, sometimes with a fundraise, which means you know has negative implications for the share price. So
yeah,
who knows? Well,
so they say here cash expect to be approximately 1 million. So you know it's we need to go back to they are reducing this. They break even so at the year end and expected to increase during 2025. So that's a positive because they're generating cash. But they do say I always say this. I mean, do you know what? In the book I just published, I say, listen, what management say and what the actual accounts say are two different things. Now, they're saying they expect it to increase. Now, you know, you can take a punt on that or you can wait till the accounts come out and see if it does increase because that's fact. Everything else is opinion. But, I mean, at least that's a sort of positive. They're not going to be, they believe, burning cash unless it's expected to increase unless that's via replacing which they should
no they don't mean that they mean organically but and if you look at the bullet right above that that's another strong bullet point that I don't want to miss that element is that you know their order book is strong for the coming year and it's strong you know in terms of the sales pipeline so that's where they have confidence they're break even now and that's where they have confidence in cash generation in 2025 which is right you know it's about to start so I think you're right. I think, you know, you can play it one way or another. It's difficult to play it right now. I mean, was a holder. I've sold some, you know, 2 years ago it was a different story back then. And I've sold some, I'd say maybe a couple of months ago when I just don't like it when there's no CEO. Do you know what I mean? I think we've discussed this on this call. You know, it's just very difficult to know what's going on in a business when you don't know who to call. You know what I mean? So there you go. So they need some leadership, I think, and hopefully that'll be sorted soon. There was some statement about who they're lining up in the announcements, as in they're still, you know, they've got a couple of people running it right now, but they're still looking for a CEO. I think I've sold a third, I've sold another third, and I'm down to a third, and I'm also debating, what do I do here? You know, so...
Well, the thing is, by the way, if you're going to copy my book, Vadim, I've got 50, I've released last week, 15, 100% five-star reviews on it, but I do talk in there, and it's easy when you get caught up in a story of a company. Now, the positives here, literally, are they're hopefully going to be generating cash here, but... Make no bones about it, you know, small cap companies that are revenue generating, they are supposed to be growth companies. Now, if they're not growing, and that means top line plus profits, if they've got profits, or at least top line and reducing, you know, losses, if they're not growing top line, that means they're not growing because everything stems from revenue, you know? And so you're thinking that there, so maybe it's a bit of a relief rally saying they're going to be profitable next year. But what I want to see is, you know, are you growing sales? Because that's what we want to see. You're supposed to be growth companies at this size, you know? So that's the thing, isn't it?
Absolutely. They're in a growth area. And yes, it's been hit by the fact that there's less money in biotech right now. But, you know, their market is still growing. So they have to be growing. You're right. I mean, if it doesn't transpire, now they're contracting instead of growing, you know?
Sometimes we can look too far into things. And when all we should be saying is, are you a growing company? Because, you know, if you're, like I said, if you're, unless you're sort of, you know, FTSE 100 company paying dividends, you don't expect too much growth from them, you know, single digit, maybe low single digit, but they pay dividends. Yeah. But if you look at, you know, micro caps, small caps, the reason where they're listed is to grow. And when they start generating revenue and become commercial, that yeah. should be increasing. You know, that's the sales should be increasing. Yeah. And if they're not, then you're thinking, it's not a growth company. Maybe it's rallied on relief that this is not as bad as we thought, you know, cash-wise or the...
Correct,
you know,
correct. And I think yeah. that's what it is. It's some kind of relief rally. Yeah. What I would say is anyone looking to pile in, I would also wait to kind of see a few things resolve. One is who's leading the business. You know, that's important. Mm. Need visibility on that. And then, you know, let's see how that cash position resolves, because it might have to resolve with a fundraise. And then that's the opportunity to get in.
I tell you what, though, when this company rallies, it bloody moves, isn't it? Look at that. From the low in 2020,
yeah.
it was 18 pence.
Yeah.
And it did a 10 bag by 2021.
Absolutely.
That's phenomenal.
So one of the rare times in my life I was able to top slice, but not at the top, not at the yeah. top, and not the full amount, a third. The next yeah. third I sold all the way back down. Do you see what I mean? And I'm still yeah. with a third. So I don't know if that's good or bad. I mean, I'm okay all in, like in terms of the average. The reason I'm saying this is because so many times in my life, I haven't top sliced. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I've watched
yeah.
companies go up and come all the way back down. And I think an example that you've described was Destiny Pharma in your case, right?
Yeah.
You just... there has to be some form of a rule in terms yeah. of when you have to lock in a proportion of your return. My regret is I should have done the whole thing back then. Yeah. I didn't, but I'm still okay because I've taken one element of that game. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
all blended average, it's about it. You know, it comes in. You say there's a 10 bagger. A 10 bagger would have been better than a 3 bagger, but blended average it amounts to a 3 bagger. But thank God there was some kind of rule that I set going. This is. The reason I'm saying this is not because I'm so great. I won't tell you about all the failed investments I've had, but the gains help you compensate for the ones you get wrong, right? Yeah, and the yeah. only way to do it is when you do sit on a gain is you have to take some of it, irrespective of how good the story.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I've been, you know, we the reason why, you know, if you're going to improve as an investor, you have to learn by mistakes, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and we've made many, many mistakes because we've been in the game quite a while. And, you know, one of the mistakes I've made, I go over it in the book and I say, one of the things I do is always, if you're up, so even say 20, 30%,
yeah.
at least put a stop loss in at your, where your buy-in price is. If you have 30%, because yeah. you should never be losing money on a company. When you're like 20% or more on a stock, you should never really be losing money on that. Because yeah. you know it's so if you lock in that even at the buy price, even if you know if you want to be extra cautious, but if you're up like 40, 50, 60%, you should never be making a loss on that. And I have in the past. I've doubled yeah. my money on companies and lost money on it because
yeah.
I didn't have any discipline. I just thought it was going to the sky. Never believe it keeps going to the sky, because when you start believing that, honestly, you tend to pile more money in and then it starts dropping. You get in trouble. So you can have a strict rule saying I'm going to lock that in. And at least I can't lose. And once you can't lose, that's perfect. You know, you've removed the risk from risk and reward. So right. you've only got reward. So that chart there, I quite like that, because you've got last couple of days it's pumped up here, and then it's yeah. come down. So you say this is the previous high there, 31 pence. It's now, and maybe I'm not so much volume today because not, but it's now opened up 32 pence. What's the volume here? Because oh, it's not bad. The average daily volume is 51,000. You've got 32,000. So that is a higher. If it stays above that, that's quite bullish. I know it's early signs, but that's quite bullish. Above 50-day moving average, look, it hasn't done that since back here, and we're at a lower valuation now. And we've got this line here of support. That's not a bad, it's a good start. That's a good...
feels like it's recovering.
Pump up like that. You often get that big breakup. Like that. What was that? How far did that rise there?
Yeah.
But 7%. And then it consolidates, then it pumps up again. That's a good sign, that, though. That's quite a good sign, you know?
It is, but this is where I find there might be some danger in this relief rally. I'm not 100% convinced yet. And don't get me wrong, I've always liked this story. That's why I'm still holding a third. But I'm sitting there saying now, I mean, what am I adding? No. Am I maybe you know, selling the last third on the relief rally, maybe I will. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. Because I think you're right to be concerned. Like, it seems like a relief rally. It's not based on fundamental growth, is it? So we know it is a bit of a relief rally. Maybe some sellers have exited, some buyers have come in. That's it.
Yeah.
And so So it's not. Yeah. I'm you're right not to be super confident on that as yet, because it's like the revenue is not contracting. So there we are.
Yeah. Exactly.
And the cost base is being cut, but that's not what you want. You go soon. So two other stocks you're mentioning. Was it Hemogenics you mentioned? Is it?
Yeah, so Hemogenics, just because they have they're ready now to commence their clinical trial, which is good. So I think there's going to be, the market will be anticipating that news flow, and I think it is already. That'll be like the announcement that is the big announcement for a business at this stage is the first patient being tried in their clinical trial, because they've been a preclinical company throughout their whole history. And the next step, and their own, the point is that's the imminent step, is that they will be trying patients with their first clinical therapy called a CAR T therapy. I think that's just that the point is just flagging it here today, because at any moment, I think that could be part of the next phase of the business. And you know, when that gets announced, I would expect a share rally. They've consolidated their shares. That just happened today.
I look at the last time I looked at this is 1.3 pence, and now they're at 4 quid a share. What's going on here? So okay,
I'm flagging it today because they just did the consolidation today, so they're about 4 quid. That was a 400-1. They were 1p before, and you know, penny shares, I think it's they have in their announcement, is in their explanation as to why they're consolidating, is they're anticipating their, I guess, discussions with U.S. investors and hoping for a U.S. investment to come in. So let's see what happens there.
Okay. So they're not. So they're doing it. Okay. All right. Cool. And finally, talking about the U.S., which we talked about a bit, a company sort of listed over there from here.
Oh, yeah. No, the other one that I wanted to mention was SpectralMD. It's called Spectral AI now in the US.
Yeah.
So this is the one that listed in London years ago and then moved over via SPAC deal to the US NASDAQ market. And it wasn't, you know, it's also in a down market where things just got worse from worse to worse in the markets for these types of companies. But in the meantime, their business keeps on ticking along. The business is, they have a huge BARDA contract with the U.S. government, which is, forecast to generate about 28 million this year in revenues, of which they've already announced 21 million. So they're on track there. But I think the big announcement that's coming is they're doing a trial, a pivotal trial effectively on their technology to submit to the FDA in H1 next year. So when that trial data comes out, and they've said before the end of the year, you know, it's going to be, I think, pretty big news. And already this tends to happen in markets. Traders are anticipating that. So you're already seeing the shares go up. Okay.
Look at that. I mean, it's across the 200-day moving average, nice spike up there, maybe period of consolidation. But this is $2.
Exactly.
They listed, that was a farce there, wasn't it? What happened there when they listed? Listed what, $10, was it? Something like that?
Exactly. It was that spike and all that is a bit irrelevant, but it was $10 was the reverse, takeover.
So they've got a bit of ground to make back. But
UK investors at the time, they're probably, I think the IPO price from 4 years ago is probably around $7 or $7.50. So there's like quite a ways to go. But it's good to see a recovery now. There's a bit of recovery. And the hope now is that the results come in good and we see another spike. That would be a great result. That would be a great result.
Yeah. Well, look at that. You got this spike of 150 there. It was a support there last time. It broke that down. Then came back up, tried to break it, couldn't do it, and then broke down. Now it's really, when you get that strong shoot through a previous support and the resistance level, that's quite good. And it's shot up to, through 200-day moving average. So it maybe needs a period of consolidation for a bit. But,
31%. Huge liquidity bursts, like real major liquidity.
So 31% of one day, then 14 or 15% the second day. So that's a nice little move in 2 days. And now consolidation may be needed, but cool.
And the next year is a big news year for this company. We'll hopefully be talking about it again in the new year, because by the time we speak again, there will hopefully have the announcement of whether their trial went well or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's that, because they've said it's going to happen. They're planning to announce it by year end. So we're anticipating this, announcement this month.
Cool. Well, and do you still hold any of these?
I do. Yeah. Okay. I'm a holder. I'm underwater.
The thing is, anyone who invested in the UK, you can't help not unless you average down at the really low, because the low is is 0.8, so it's not far off the low. And a few months back, the low happened. So, there's not many people not underwater who hold these, I suppose.
But I am holding on for now because I want to see what happens. I do think, there's some good news ahead. And, starting with this trial, let's see what happens with the trial results. It's imminent.
Cool stuff. Marvellous. Vadim, thanks for that, fella. And have a nice Christmas. We'll speak.
Merry Christmas. Have a Merry Christmas. Yeah, Happy New Year and a good holiday. And, hopefully... the house will be fixed. You'll get to move in.
Who knows? Fingers crossed. It should have been in there like 3-4 weeks ago. But there we are. But 3/4 is done. It's just a bit of the outside and a bit of downstairs. Marvellous. Thanks for that, Ray. Speak soon.
Excellent. Thanks, Justin. Take care.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's Essential Prenatal Multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.